You're listening to Health Radio. It's time now for Healthy Children, the talk show for parents, with expert guests provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, here's your host, Melanie Cole.
My guest is Dr. Daniel Fabui. He's the Medical Director of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and we have been talking about disaster preparedness, and we're going to talk about a few things in this segment. But when we speak of children with special needs and families with children with special needs, that's a whole different ballgame when you're planning your disaster preparedness. What do you want to tell the parents listening are the most important things to think about in planning for something, whether it's a confinement within the home or an evacuation?
Yeah, I think the most critical things, I think, is parents actually having a plan. You know your children way better than any other doctors or any other providers that are out there, and you know what they need. During times of power outages, let's say where you can't access your medication or electricity, power, those type of things are important to our children who have special needs. So I would say the first thing is your plan. The second is really, have you built those relationships with those service providers, so Pepco, BG, whatever, companies that do supply you, so that they understand that you have a child with a special need and a special resource that's needed. And you may work with your local health department on that project. Here in the D.C. area, we're doing a special needs project with our District of Columbia Department of Health and really looking at that. So I think that's a critical piece. The other part is your emergency information form, the EIF form, which was developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics, Emergency Nurses Association, and the Association College of Emergency Physicians. This document was very useful because it lists the medications, the chronic medical conditions, their provider, and all information about your child that may be useful.
Where can people find that?
Yeah, they can go to www.aap.org on the website and type in EIF, and the emergency information form should be available there. You can also Google it. It'll pop up. So that's a critical information tool that will be helpful during times of emergency. So I think that's important for families to be aware of.
Well, I think it is so important to have those forms, to have your lists of your children's medications and extra, you know, things on hand. And now, so when we're planning these kinds of things, suppose it's evacuation. How do you, and tell the parents how to deal with this, Dr. Fabui, how do you, you mentioned at the beginning not to scare your children, but how do you explain to children what's happening? Give us your, what would you say to your children or your patients about what we're doing right now? What do we have to do, guys? Okay, we have to pack up and leave.
Yeah, so that's I think that's important to be able to have that dialogue with your children. You don't want to overly alarm them. You really want to make sure that they understand. So we use some of the examples that, you know, nature sometimes provides too much of a good thing. So fire is good because we can cook and we can also use it to heat ourselves and things like that. But also if there's too much of it, it can burn buildings, it can burn trees and things like that. Wind, rain, all of that. If it's too much, it can cause flooding. If the ground starts to shake, you know, excessive shaking and spreading of the ground can lead to these earthquakes, and that can be too much. So we're trying to let them understand and put it more in concrete terms at their developmental level so they understand. So, and then what do you do after you break the news to them? You have to empower them. And how do you empower them? You get them involved in the plan. What's the plan? How do we call for help? How do we contact our family members when we're separated? Where do we meet up if, let's say, we need to recongregate outside of the house, if there's a fire in the house or there's an explosion or we need to evacuate properly and we have to get out? Who are we going to call? Who's our relatives? What are those phone numbers? who's the reliable family member that we can reach out to, or the reliable neighbor that we can reach out to that is a safe environment for our children, or and even for our family. Those kind of things. Where do we keep our personal information? This is our information. Should anything happen, this is where it is, and this is where you get it, just in case mommy or daddy doesn't make it out, or in the case of we all make it out, but we all know where to go and where to recongregate. I think those are key things, and get them involved in a plan. Well, you're going to grab the flashlight. Your assignment is to grab the batteries whenever there's a power outage. This is what you're supposed to do. So everybody has a role and a vested interest in that, and it empowers them and takes away the anxiety from that process.
Because I imagine that that's very scary. I mean, it's scary for adults, but for kids, parents are running around getting ready for something like that. It must be terrifying for kids.
Yeah, yeah. I do this with my kids every time there's a storm, whenever there's lightning and thunderstorms, and they hear it. I said, okay, everybody, you know your roles. Go get it. And everybody goes. They know what to do. And then we all recongregate. And it's kind of a way of doing the drill, but it's also not as stressful.
So let's shift gears completely here, because as we're all suffering sort of a heat wave around the country, Dr. Fabui, and our kids are out there in the summer playing sports, and you've just recently seen some, you know, sporting injuries coming in. Give us a little bit of your basic, and which could be considered some disaster preparedness in itself, about the heat that's going on, and what do we do for our children, keeping them safe in this?
Yeah, so extreme heat, that's an area I like to talk about, heat illness, heat injury, and how do we prevent that? We don't want our children, or even families, or the elderly, to become victims of heat injury. And I definitely don't want to see them in the emergency department, because that means they're really sick and bad off. So ideally, what do we need to do? Well, there are a couple of things, and they're risk populations. So children definitely are at risk. Our elderly, extreme of ages, are at risk. So those are the two big categories. And then under that, we have the athletes, the kids who are playing soccer, football, certain sports out in the hot weather. And then you have the people who are laborers who are working outside in the heat, construction workers and things like that, military recruits. So those are the broad categories of all those who actually are affected by heat illness. So what are the things to kind of avoid that problem, to being a heat casualty or a heat patient? Really, it's trying to make sure that if you're going to exercise or do any activities with the kids, do it early in the morning, before the 9, 10 o'clock kind of range, before the sun really comes out and gets really hot. And if you're going to do anything else that day, you want to do it later in the evening when it's starting to get cooler. And stay hydrated. That's a key thing. Dehydration is a problem, and we want to avoid that. Your body is actually generating more heat than it can actually dissipate, meaning that it can release to the atmosphere. So we release heat by sweating through our pores and through our sweat. And if you're not as acclimated, meaning you've not been in an area where or exposed to this heat for a long period of time, your body can't adjust that fast. So you tend to get dehydrated. You lose water and salt through your body, and then your body temperature rises, and your brain can't really regulate that temperature, so it gets out of control.
Okay, so if we're keeping ourselves hydrated, do you like water? Do you like electrolyte drinks?
Well, I think water is always ideal. Okay, electrolyte drinks do have some value, but they do have a lot of sugar. So a lot of people don't tend to drink as many electrolyte drinks. But if that's what you have, drink it. Stay hydrated is the key. So if it's juice, if it's water, water being the ideal number one, an electrolyte drink probably being the second layer, or tomato juice. There are other things that have all the electrolytes that you need in it without all the excess calories and sugar. But in that order is what you want to do. And you want to make sure you're doing this constantly throughout the time of your activity and even without your activity.
And I think that it's important for parents to realize also to hydrate before, you know, you send your children out to bring them hydrated.
Most definitely.
So that they're not just drinking their water at the event, which could make them a little nauseous if they try and load up too much, you know. And I always like a cooler full of ice and water so that we can dip a cold water towel, dip a towel into the cooler and, you know, kind of put it on their heads and stuff while they're cruising around and playing their games.
That's correct.
So give us your best advice in your in the last 45 seconds or 30 seconds here for disaster preparedness, heat illness, keeping our families safe, Dr. Fabui.
Okay, so the big thing is you want to avoid heat exhaustion and heat stroke. These are the things that can get you in really, really bad trouble. Heat stroke is really an emergency. You need to really seek help, call 911, and get evaluated. And what are those signs? I think those are key for you to understand. Temperatures really in the 104 or 40 degrees range, that's a no-no. If you have your body's feeling moist, cool, clammy, you have a real rapid pulse, heart beating really fast, the skins are clammy, or there's the child is lethargic, not responsive, those kind of things. Those are signs of what could be heat stroke, and they need to immediately get to a facility to be seen by a physician.
Well, that's all that we have time for, and thank you so much. We've been giving you information on disaster preparedness and heat stroke, heat illness, and keeping your family safe. That's what it's all about. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.